Michael Phillips, the film critic of the Chicago Tribune and the advisor of the U of I College of Media Roger Ebert Fellowship in Arts Criticism. We've all been stuck at home, mostly spending what many estimates put at least 7 hours on average of screen time a day. And I wanted to hear from this year's Ebert Fellows about what they found themselves drawn to, new or old, light or heavy, as 2020 wore on. And also what these three fellows might be looking forward to in 2021. So let's hear from them. This is Casey Daly, Grace Johnson, and Scarlett O'Hara, this year's Ebert Fellows. Welcome, folks. Grace, I wonder if this has been a time for diving into escapism, you know, pure fluff for you, or do you find yourself at all interested in kind of leaning into series or movies that kind of intensify the mood of this strange pandemic year we've all been living in?
Well, recently I haven't been watching anything that's reflected the pandemic, but I did recently finish a series called Queen Sugar, and it's a television series I've been watching on Hulu. It was executive produced by Ava DuVernay and Oprah Winfrey, and it follows a Southern family in Louisiana. It's like three characters, Ralph Angel, Charlie Bordelone, and Nova Bordelone, and basically their father had recently passed away and left them all of this land on their farm. So it basically like chronicles each of their journeys with navigating the farm. And it's like a lot of drama mixed into it and different life themes. So it's a really juicy series that I've been like using as a form of escapism.
That's what they do to us. I'll fight with you.
I thought it best to make you an offer in person.
We have a warrant to search your property.
You know nothing about your own husband.
Over my dead and buried body.
We do business a little differently down here.
You don't do this.
Casey, how about you? What have you been finding yourself kind of like, okay, this is one I want to stick with?
Well, something that's funny that I have noticed over the course of this year was that, you know, in March, when the pandemic was first, you know, picking up, people were watching movies about pandemics like Contagion. Cut to 2 months later, everybody was watching Tiger King. You know, this kind of ridiculous series that's so easy to get lost in. So what I've watched recently was the show Emily in Paris. And I think they did announce that they'll be doing a second season. It was a show that got some flack for being unrealistic, for kind of painting this image of French culture that was really caricaturized. Because it was... you know, this girl, she is a little bit ignorant of the French culture. She works in marketing and she moves to Paris without speaking French. So there was a lot of critique about that. But I think the appeal to this show is really that you can get lost in it. And it's sort of this parallel version of Paris that's almost dreamlike. And I think a lot of American women can kind of escape into that world of romance and croissants and Frenchmen.
Emily Cooper?
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
I got a feeling I'm in trouble when I look at you.
I'm Emily. Your new neighbor?
Enchanté.
Cause once I do we, I know we'll never get enough.
So, you've come to teach the French some American tricks?
Never get enough.
Has anyone noticed this is a very dysfunctional workplace?
I think you're the one bringing the drama.
I've certainly been escaping into a world of croissants and other baked goods this pandemic, so I can relate a little bit to that. I haven't seen it though, but my God, everybody talked about it, and sometimes you just you need a show like that. Scarlett, you've told me in other meetings that I've had with the fellows that you find yourself going back to series you've already seen and loved because this pandemic kind of makes you feel like you don't want to be disappointed by anything necessarily, and you know you got kind of buy-in with this one. What's an example of that?
Two of my favorite all-time shows are Mad Men and The Sopranos, and I have been rewatching both of those over the past few months, sort of finding comfort in them, although they are dark shows and they can amplify the darkness or the low moods of this time. I do find comfort in the fact that I know I won't be disappointed by them, as you mentioned. I know that they're good shows, and I find that rewatching shows like that that are very intricately written, I find new details and new patterns that I didn't notice before. And that's especially important to me with The Sopranos, because the movie that is supposed to be a prequel is coming out in March to stream on HBO, which I and I'm sure many other Sopranos fans are very excited for. So watching The Sopranos has been, for me, building up to The Many Saints of Newark, which will mark about a year since the pandemic really began hitting us. So I think it's an interesting full circle revisiting this show that I had already loved and enjoyed and getting to watch the new content from them.
So you treat his brother-in-law to a ride in an ambulance?
He said a very bad word.
Let me ask you something. Why would you take Jackie's kid or something like that?
Somebody's got to show him how the real world works.
Scarlett, I have to jump in and ask all three of you, how valuable do we all think the theatrical movie-going experience is as we slowly, slowly come out of this pandemic? Is it going to come back? Have we gotten so accustomed and so comfortable with, you know, whether it's short or long-form viewing, you know, a two-hour standalone movie or a seven-plus-hour limited series? You know, how much do you miss, if at all, the movie going experience?
I don't really miss it all that much. I feel like I'm still able to enjoy good movies and good shows from the comfort of my own home. But I do like miss the experience in a way, especially, you know, like depending on the theater you go to. Some I like sit in and it's like nice to just go out and experience that, especially if it's like a new film where it's, you know, you want to see it on a big screen and like hear like really good like audio of it. I actually had a family member who did like a private like movie theater experience during the pandemic a couple months ago. And it didn't really, I don't know, I went, it was like an AMC theater and it was nice, but I didn't really see like that big of a difference or feel that big of a difference from like going out again versus being at my home and watching a TV show or a movie. At least for me personally, I feel like the movie going experience is better for just like the experience, you know, if it's like a dine-in or if it's like a film where you just want that like big visual or like really good audio.
That's a really good point. We should definitely note that we are, you know, in our early 20s and that might not be the same for all age groups. What do you do when you're 14 years old and you want to go out on a date with your first boyfriend, first girlfriend? You go to the movie theater. And, you know, when you're a little bit older and you have kids and it's a rainy day, they're bouncing off the walls, that's when you want to go to the movie theater. So I think that it is a really valuable experience for different people. But I do think that, you know, the experience is definitely in danger. You know, even cable TV is in danger with, you know, these huge streaming services taking over.
For me personally, I have really missed the experience of going to a movie theater because it's something that you share with everybody else who's there watching the same movie. That's something that can't really be replicated. It's the little things that I've noticed myself missing after I watch a movie or a show at home where, say, you're walking out of a movie theater and these strangers around you are buzzing, talking about the same movie. You can pick up on someone saying, did you notice this little detail? Wow, I was so surprised by this happening in the plot of the movie. Where if you watch something online, you're pretty limited to discussions like that occurring over social media, which is an interesting development. I enjoy being able to discuss these things over social media, but I think the energy and really getting to feel that movie and feel others' perception of the movie in person is something that can't be replicated. And a couple people that I've talked to have noted that they feel moving forward, going to the movies might not necessarily become obsolete immediately, but it will become a nostalgic experience and people will be chasing nostalgia, which is quite like jarring to hear initially because like nostalgic, like going to the movies used to be such a normal part of life. Why would it be nostalgic? I don't know, maybe like 1 year of a pandemic really can shake things up to that degree.
Your reputation precedes you.
I have to admit, I wasn't expecting an invitation back.
They're called orders, Maverick.
Some things on my radar for this year are the sequel Top Gun Maverick, the prequel The Many Saints of Newark, and as corny as they might be, some of the Marvel movies and shows coming out both on Disney Plus and hopefully, I believe, in theaters.
This year, I'm definitely looking forward to season 5 of Queen Sugar. I am looking out for Issa Rae's Insecure. I saw an Instagram post that they just wrapped up their script writing for that show. The third one I would say is Lovecraft Country by Misha Green. I was really loving that first season, so hopefully they drop a second season this year too.
A movie that I'm excited for that's set to premiere in mid-July is Space Jam 2, which is, you know, a nostalgic movie for a lot of us, and they have some NBA players in it, which is exciting. The second movie I'm excited for doesn't really exist yet, but I know it will. I can't wait for someone to make a romantic comedy about COVID, and it's going to be called 6 Feet Apart. And I'm excited to see the first one that comes out.